I have the honor this morning to welcome again back home to St. Mark's Pastor Nate Sturey, who is a former pastor here and who is serving now in a ministry in Kafukumba, Zambia. And you heard a lot about him and about the ministry there a couple of weeks ago when the Jeffries came up and talked about missions. And so this morning we have the pleasure of hearing from him and also celebrating all that God is doing in and amongst the ministry there in Kafukumba and Enright Ministry. So this morning for his text, we have Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And so before welcoming him up here, I'd like to just share this scripture with you. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. And now I invite Pastor Nate to come and share with us what God is doing in his life.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning, saints. Hey, I'm glad some of you recognize I'm talking to you. I'm surprised you didn't go, no. I had a pastor friend of mine who used to always start out with that, "Good morning, saints," and they would respond, and he'd say, "Good morning, sinners," because that's what we all are, both, right? Right down the middle of us. But today's All Saints Day, so I had to start off with addressing you as saints. So good to be back and see some familiar saintly faces. Great to be with you all again. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I spent the years 2000 to 2013 here at St. Mark's, so spent a lot of time with family here and getting to know people. So thank you again for letting me come, and thank you, Richard, for opening up this time for me. So All Saints Day, not a day that we celebrate a lot, but most of us know what yesterday was, right? Halloween. But they're very closely related, whether you know it or not. And for those of you who have heard me over the years, you already know this, but All Hallows Day is All Saints Day, which is today. So the evening before All Hallows Day is Hallow Evening or Halloween, and that's where Halloween came from. Now, how it got to where it is now, I have no idea. Not sure even Wikipedia can figure that out. But in any case, here we are, and I thought, hey, it's All Saints Day, let's talk about how to be a saint. So that's the title of my sermon today, how to be a saint. Not that you all aren't already, but how to continue to grow in that way. So let me just start off with asking, who are some saints that you know of? What are the names of some of the saints you know? St. Mark, yeah, you guys should know that one pretty well. Your namesake, St. Mark's. Who else? What? Another one?
St. Florian.
St. who?
Florian.
All right. That's the new one for me. St. Christopher. Mother Teresa. St. Francis. St. Nick. Yeah. Actually, there is some history there. It's not just Santa Claus. There's some St. Nicholas back there as well. St. Patrick's, come on. Some Irish out there, sorry? Okay, St. Anthony. All right, all these saints, okay? So these are all people that over the years have been named saints by the Catholic Church. And so got to stop and ask yourself, what does it take to be a saint then? Because after all, that's my sermon today, how to be a saint. Now, I won't promise you if you follow my directions that you'll be named by the Pope, but I do think that it's kind of what Jesus was wanting us to do. So let me just backpedal a second and say, what does it mean to be a saint? Give me a definition of a saint. Anybody have a definition of a saint? The holiest of holies. Oh, that's scary. But yeah, what's another one? Definition of a saint. Self-sacrificing. Okay. Anybody? Sorry? Miracle. Okay. All right, can do miracles. Okay. All right. Isn't a saint, I mean, when you think of saint, don't you just think of kind of somebody who's right up there next to God, somebody who does what God wants them to do, somebody who lives a godly life, right? So let's keep it simple. Let's keep it on that level today. If a saint is someone who lives a life that God wants them to live, then I think today's scripture applies well to us. The problem is we tend to overcomplicate it with religion and all the stuff that we add on from there. So Mark 12, verse 28, Jesus is with his disciples, and there are some people testing him, asking him these tough questions, and this scribe, who's kind of like somebody who copies the law and who knows it very well because they spend their whole day writing it, so he spent his time deep in the details of all these laws, and in Judaism, there's like 613 laws, 248 of them positive, and 365 of them negative. In other words, the don't do's. And so this guy who's been, you know, copying all these laws comes to Jesus like, I'm sure the scribe is kind of overwhelmed. This is like, I've spent my life in the details. What's the greatest of all the commandments? Or actually, he asks, what's the first? Now, he doesn't mean which one came first. He's asking first in the sense of priority. What's the first of all the commandments? Not an unusual question. This was something that people would ask Jewish rabbis. In fact, there's a story of one disciple who went to some of the great Jewish rabbis and said, I'll be your disciple if you can stand on one leg and recite the whole law. In other words, how can you kind of wrap it up, summarize it? Give me the cliff notes, or spark notes, I guess, or the new cliff notes. And so they try to summarize it. And how many of us have not been in school and said, is this going to be on the test, right? So this is just a normal human response. What do I have to know? What do I have to do? What's, you know, how can I get by? How can I graduate? How can I pass this class? How can I do life right? And that's basically, I think, what the scribe is asking Jesus as a rabbi. I don't think the scribe is anticipating that this is the Son of God or anything. Just as a rabbi, as a teacher, he says, what's the first commandment? So, like I said, very human question. First commandment. But again, I think we complicate it too much, and God knows, look at church history, how messed up we take that simple little instruction of Jesus and wrap it and hide it and twist it and tie it so that people can't even see it, people can't even hear it, can't even get to it. And so I wanted to kind of go back, and as we talk about how to be a saint, just to kind of get back to the simplicity of again. Of it all again. And I'm going to do that using a metaphor of ice cream, okay? So I know there are some ice cream lovers in here. Think about your favorite flavor, whether it's one of Baskin-Robbins 31 or Häagen-Dazs or whatever. I see some smiles there like, oh, why do you have to talk about that now? I'm so hungry now. But what if when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What if Jesus said, eat ice cream? Now, I know this is in your dreams, right? If only we could be saved by eating ice cream. But I want to use that as an illustration because what we tend to do is we take that simple instruction of Jesus and we just confuse it, wrap it up too much. So if Jesus had said, eat ice cream. I think we would have complicated that too. I mean, I think we would have come back with, well, Jesus, what flavor should I eat? Or should I eat it in a cone or in a bowl? I mean, which is more holy, Jesus? You know, which one's going to get me closer to you? We complicate it with all these questions. When should I eat it? You know, can I drink water with it? Just complicate it too much. And Jesus simply says something as simple as, just eat ice cream. Now, make the switch with me here. Don't go telling everybody I told you if you eat ice cream, you're saved. But you see the simplicity of it. The scribe says, what do I need to do? And Jesus says, it's simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy on the first part, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's been a part of Judaism. But now he takes another law from Leviticus and puts them side by side, and he says, these are, and it says first and second, but essentially, those who are Greek scholars tell me that it's basically saying these are on the same level. These are one and the same. You can't do one without the other. And read 1 John if you doubt that. It tells us very clearly that you can't say you love God when you hate your brother or sister. So these two are the same. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But we complicate even this. We take this and we mess it up. It's like, what does it mean to love God? And how do I love God? I had a young Zambian man who sent me a text message, and he just said, you know, I want to grow closer to God, but I don't know how to do it. You know, and I said, well, do you have a best friend? He said, yeah, I have a best friend. And I said, well, how did you get to be best friends? Well, you know, we spent time together. We've been communicating with each other for years. We've gone through some hard times. There you have it. That's how to get closer to God. You know, it's not super complicated. It's walking with God. You know, that's what they say of the greats in the Bible, the Moseses and the Abrahams. They don't say, this guy was perfect, never sinned, never did anything wrong. They don't say that. They say, Moses walked with God. And that involves a whole lot of mess-ups and a whole lot of deep times of communication and intimacy. So this scribe comes and he says, how do I do this? He says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Even the God part, you know, we complicate that. How do I love a God I can't see? Well, I'll admit that does complicate it a little bit, but it's not impossible. You know, spend time in solitude. You've come here today to worship through the worship music, through the prayers. This is how you spend time. This is how you get closer to God. This is how you love God. But then the second part we complicate also, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And we come back with all these questions. Well, God, what do you mean by love? And what if my neighbor doesn't love me? Do I still have to love them? And then there's the question that the other person asked Jesus in the Gospels, who is my neighbor? Doesn't that sound like is this going to be on the test kind of question? Jesus says, just love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love? Or another way to say it is, who do I not have to love? Whoever's not my neighbor. Jesus tells that great story that we've come to know as the Good Samaritan, which is really a story about a guy who was an outcast by the Jews, coming along and finding someone who is presumably a Jew, lying in need on the road, and who goes out of his way to love this guy into health and wholeness again. So I think that, you know, the short answer to the question, who's my neighbor, is the one in your life who needs love. Doesn't matter whether they're from another country, whether they're your arch enemies, Samaritans and Jews. If there's somebody in your life who needs love, then that's your neighbor. And so how do I become a saint? How do I live a saintly life? How do I do what God wants me to do? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look for those people in your life who need love. It doesn't have to be big. You know, I hear people saying, you know, maybe telling a story about how their life was spared from disaster. It's like, oh, God has a special purpose. I'm just waiting to find out what that is. Don't wait. It's right in front of you every day. Just love the people that God puts in your path. Look what Jesus did. That's all he did. He didn't set up some, you know, big government and try to do some, you know, international salvation crusade. He just walked along the road, and people who came into his path he loved, and it changed the world. And that's all he asks us, those who are disciples who follow him, that's all he asks us to do. So I wanted to share just a couple of quick things with you today about the people that God's put in our path there in Zambia. I'll be sharing more at the luncheon later, and a few pictures as well, and I promise I won't make it too long. My wife always tells me how painful it is to look at someone else's pictures. But I won't make it too long, just about 30, 40 pictures, and we'll go through them pretty quick, but it'll give you an idea of what we're doing. But I want to tell you just a few of the ways that God's put people in our path in Zambia to love. In other words, how God has enabled us to live saintly lives by putting people in front of us to love. First one comes from my group, my Journey of Transformation group. Many of you who have been following us on emails, and let me just put a little plug in there. We send out a monthly newsletter by email, and if you're not on that and want to be, please fill out something somewhere and give it to me with your email address on, and I'll add you to the list, and we send out these updates on a regular basis just to ask for prayer and to let you know what we're doing. But this group, this Journey of Transformation, we've been walking with for a couple years. We have one more year. It's a 3-year commitment. God's been doing some really neat things through that. One morning, we're just asking for prayer requests, and one of the guys in there says, well, my niece died. She died of AIDS, and her husband also has AIDS and is near death, and she left behind 2-month-old twins. It's like, whoa, you know, that's heavy. In a culture that already is a struggle to keep up your children and to support your family, then your cousins or your uncles or aunts die, and then you inherit their children as well. So I shared it with my wife, Elinda, afterwards, and she didn't just pray for it. She got a hold of it like a dog and followed up on it, found out that nobody in the family really wanted these kids. And so through a series of conversations, et cetera, we became foster parents of a set of twins, 2-month-old twins. Now, we've parented 4 children, but they're all grown now. And so it's a flashback going back to these days. But we're in the process of finding adoptive parents for them and very excited about that. But Luke and Levi have kind of made their way into our hearts the last several months. And this was something we had no idea. We didn't have this on our agenda of things to do to become a saint. But there's a need. And God said, you can do something about this need. And these scrawny little kids who we got at 2 months are now chubby, healthy-looking little monsters. They're wonderful. They're actually lovely. And we've just really enjoyed them. So, God uses that. We don't always get it right. There's another person in my Journey of Transformation that's struggling with alcoholism, and he's quit a couple times and just kind of keeps getting back. And I had found out just before we left Zambia last week that, somebody had seen him at the bar again, and I'm like, oh, I hate that happened. So I called him up, and I did a really stupid thing. I said, hey, somebody said they saw you at the bar, and just want you to know, hate to see that happen to you. And as soon as I hung up, I realized that was not the loving thing to do. What I should have said is, I really love you and care about you. You have a family that's depending on you, and you know, and I know, that if you continue this kind of lifestyle, it's going to ruin you and it's going to ruin your family. And I just want you to know I love you and I support you, and anything I can do to help you through this, let me know. Now, wouldn't that have been much more saintly? So remember, right down the middle, saint, sinner, we're still a mix of both, but it's learning to take advantage of those opportunities God puts in our face. Lots of other opportunities as well. My daughter is a senior in high school, Lindsay. We took her out there when she was a sophomore. Horrible thing for a parent to do. Drag their child out of America and throw them in the middle of Africa, but she has blossomed. And she now leads a Bible study out there in Zambia. She's adopted these kids more than even Elinda and I. These are her little brothers now. Almost didn't come back to the States with us because she hated to leave them. She's going to be finishing up her senior year next year, and she hopes to go to Hillsong College in Australia in pastoral studies for at least a year, kind of see what she's doing after that. And I'll put in just a little commercial here. She's going to be out in the narthex, the lobby, right after the service, selling some pictures that she's taken of Zambia to support her trip to Hillsong and her going to college there. So, you know, it's for everybody. It's, you know, my wife jumped on that twins thing. My daughter has just been involved with some really exciting things out there. She goes over to the preschool every day and just teaches these kids English and plays with them and loves them. My mother-in-law, Lorraine, who some of you know, 91 years old, legally blind. She wouldn't recognize me if I'm as close to her as Terry is here. She could see a shape, but that's about it. Legally blind, uses a walker because she broke her hip about a year and a half ago. But every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she goes out into one of the local villages, taking her team with her, and they have a program called God's Kids. And they just have this program for the kids of Zambia because she has a passion in her heart to love these kids to Christ. She can't do much. She can't make her own supper. She can't go to the bathroom alone. But she can love these kids to Christ every weekday afternoon. So it's these little ways that God puts in our lives where we can just love God and love others as we love ourselves. I mean, the good news is you don't have to live in Zambia to be a saint, okay? There are people around you, in your own families, in your neighborhoods, at work, at school. You won't have to look far to find somebody who's hurting, to find somebody who needs love. You might have to look deep because all of us have learned really well to put on that nice mask that makes us look like everything's okay with me. But it's not. We struggle and we got to love. And that's what Christ invites us to do. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, when it gives this command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it says, so that it may go well with you. See, I think the way God invented life to be lived, God invented the world to take place, is in the context of love. I mean, honestly, I can't think of many problems that love can't solve. I mean, it can't stop suffering, but it can certainly ease it to have someone there who loves you through it. And so instead of complicating all this stuff, why don't we just get back to the basics of eating ice cream? Let's just go back to ice cream. Just go back to loving God, love your neighbor as yourself. See, this scribe came to Jesus and he asked him this question. At the end, Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know exactly what Jesus meant by that. I'd love to ask him. But I think he may have meant, you get it. Now get it. You get it up here. Now live it. You're not far. Just live it out. Now, the thing I would hate the worst is at the end of my life to stand before Christ and he come up to me and say, Nate, you weren't far, man. This close. As I used to hear when I was younger, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, right? Not in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be close to the kingdom of God. I want to be in there. I want to be a saint. I don't care about the halo. I just want to walk with God. And Jesus says, if you want to walk with God, this is what it looks like. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And loving your neighbor as yourself. So happy All Saints Day. I hope you want to be a saint as bad as I do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love, for your kindness, your goodness, your forgiveness, your call to be saints, to love God and love one another as we love ourselves. Lord, just open our hearts, open our eyes, to those around us, those little ways that we can change the world just by following these simple little lines. Loving. And Lord, give us the strength. It's not always easy. Give us the strength and the courage to do it. where you want us to do it, in the ways you want us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is a marvelous thing that a holy God would come and be enfleshed to live among us, to dwell in us, so that we could dwell in Him together in unity. And that's really why He calls us His children, why we're saints and sinners, because we are all the family of God. And so as we go forth today, we pray that you go in that strength and in that hope of Christ in your life, and the gift that He has given you to walk with each other in that love, and allowing that love of God and of each other to permeate every part of your being. And so as we leave here this morning, we also invite you to come to lunch at 12 o'clock. Pastor Nate, we're going to have a reception for him, and he'll be sharing more about Cafacumba there and the mission. And so come at noon to be a part of that. And if you're interested in joining the church, at 2 o'clock we have a starting point class in the choir room, which is called the community room as well. So go forth in the power and the grace and in the gift of being those called to love one another as He has loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God bless you and see you next week.